And I didn't have a whole lot of time to get into that last week, and so I just talked about a couple of verses, and so I'm going to try to finish this thing up tonight. And so these last few psalms are praise psalms, and I think you can remember that, or you will remember that. And we were talking about all the reasons we have to praise God, and how that this is David's crown jewel of praise. It's really David's last psalm. It's the last psalm that David wrote. I can't remember the exact number. Today I was looking at it, 77, 79, something like that, that David wrote it. And this was the last one. And I think it's kind of fitting that David kind of finishes up his psalms with this praise psalm where he is praising God, and he's praising Jehovah. So he's praising the Creator God Elohim, and he's praising Jehovah. We talked about that last week, and how that his praise is to be forever and ever. And I think last week I even talked to you about verse number 4 and how impactful that has been to me. I know I brought it up Sunday, maybe Sunday night, talking about the need to praise. How God is greatly to be praised. And if one generation is to praise thy works and to tell it to the next generation, and how necessary that is for us, and how we should be doing that. And so David he's lifting this praise up to God, and we need to understand that's something that we should be implementing in our life. One of the ways that we can make disciples is to tell the disciples how great it is to be a child of God. You know, I went and bought a suit for Haley's wedding. So anyway, they said, you're going to buy a new suit, and it's got to be navy. And I'm like, I don't want a new suit. And they said, well, you got to buy a new suit. And actually, they said, well, you know, so-and-so had to get a suit for that wedding, so because they had to, you have to. Anyway, I go to Dillard's, and we're in a rush, and I go in there, and he puts the suit on me. He said, you're a 46 regular. I mean, he didn't even measure me. He put that thing on, and man, it was nice, and go try that on, and go try the pants on, and I do that, and if I'm in there, all of a sudden, you know what, maybe I ought to look at the price. I look at that sleeve, and I'm like, whoo! He said, well, here, let me put this one on you. And I looked at the price before I put it on, and it was $1,700. And I'm like, no. You just take that one. I'm not even going to try that thing on. But it made me feel a lot better about the price of the one that I had on. God was a good salesman. Because, you know, I'm not going to worry about the price of this one because that one's so expensive. My point is, he was talking about how great his suit was. You know, and oh man, that suit looks good on you, and it fits good, and you know, all that stuff. You know, he's a great salesman. You know, if you're going to sell somebody on something, you're not going to tell them how bad it is. You know, he didn't want to put that suit on me and say, now, wait a minute, before you put that suit on, I want you to look at the price and tell you all the bad stuff about it. No, he wants to tell you all the good stuff. My point is this. If we want someone to recognize why they ought to be a follower of Jesus, well, I'm going to tell them the good stuff. I don't tell them the negative stuff. I'll tell them the good stuff. I'm going to tell them God is greatly to be praised for what He's done in our life and what He's doing in our life and for the hope that we have and all of that. I mean, there is much reason for us to praise. And I don't want to belabor this point too much, but it's just been laying heavy on my heart how that we should be praising the Lord. And tell from one generation to the next, they ought to know the goodness of the Lord, and we ought to be praising Him. But before I spend any more time on that point and don't get to talk about the rest of the psalm, let's get into verses 3 through 6. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Praise God for His greatness. Now, one of the things, going back to last week, you'll remember that I talked about him being Elohim, that the word God there in verse number 1 is Elohim, and that's a creatorial name of God. And now we get down to verse number 3 where it says, great is the Lord, and hopefully you will remember as we have been talking about that, and when you see that word Lord in all caps, that you know that that is the word Jehovah. It is the covenant-keeping God. And so notice the change from Elohim to Jehovah. And so David is thinking about different aspects of who God is and what He means to him. And so David is not only praising the Creator God, but he's praising the self-existent God who has made a covenant with them. Jehovah is the Lord of David's life. He is the master of his life. David lived in total surrender to God. He was a man after God's own heart. He was a man that wanted to be pleasing to God. He wasn't perfect. He didn't always do that, but he was surrendered to God. And so he's praising the greatness of the one who has made covenant with me. And he says that his greatness is unsearchable. So David, let's praise him because his greatness is unsearchable. Now I think I mentioned this last week. I talk about the unsearchableness of the greatness of God. And I think I made a mistake. I told you about the depths of the sea and the far reaches of outer space. And I think I told you that we haven't made it to the bottom of the sea. Well, guess what? We have. I decided to go home and look at that and to find it out. We've only been there twice. And we stayed there for a very short period of time, and the article that I was reading was just to prove that it could be done. They didn't stay there very long, just a few moments. But that depth is called the Challenger Deep, is 36,200 feet. The normal depth of the ocean, for the most part, is about 1.8 miles. The Challenger Deep is 6.8 miles. Down about so far, I did have this right. You're down where there's no light can penetrate that deep. And the pressure is very great. It does take special equipment to make it there. But even though the depths of the ocean, and we have plunged the depths of the ocean, we still have not found the far reaches of not even our universe. So we don't even know what's on outside of our universe. We haven't reached out there. We've tried to see out there, but anyway. God's bigger than all of that. God's bigger than all of that. His greatness is unsearchable, and it says His ways are past finding out. And so, you know, that's how unsearchable He is. His ways are past finding out. I don't know if I mentioned this last week, because one of the things I hate to do is I hate to study a message one week and only preach part of it and preach again the next week, because I forget what I said and what I didn't say. But I've been thinking about some of these things for the whole week. But think about this. One advantage the ancients, people who lived in the ancient times, in the non-modern age, think about the advantage they had over us. They knew there were things about God that they could not figure out. They didn't know anything about viruses. They didn't know sickness was caused by a virus. They could look at a virus like we can look at a virus today. They knew that there were things that were beyond their comprehension. They knew there were limitations to their ability to search out God. And the reason they had an advantage over us is because we don't think anything is beyond our ability to figure out. We don't think God's ways are past our finding out. We don't think that God's ways are unsearchable. We think we know everything there is to know about God. We think that we know everything there is to know about serving Him and studying Him. We think we know everything there is in this book, and we do not. So we think we're smart. And that's the advantage they had over us. They understood the unsearchableness or how God is unsearchable. And so therefore they could be filled with awe at the greatness of God. When God did something miraculous, they could be filled with awe about it. And we can't be that anymore because, you know, we think we got it all figured out. But David is saying, you know, great, his greatness is unsearchable. And then I'll not really mention verse 4 much, but we want to understand how important it is for us to praise him and pass that praise on to the next generation so the next generation can tell of his mighty acts. And again, think about the places, the acts that God has done in your life, how you can share it with your children and your grandchildren so that they can know and understand the greatness of God. And that's one of the places that we should share with them. One of the things we should share with them is his God's greatness and what he's done with in our lives. And David says, I'm going to praise him because of his glorious honor and majesty. Honor there means magnificence, splendor, beauty, excellence, glory, majesty. So we're going to speak of his magnificence. David's praising him because of his majesty, because of his splendor, because of his grandeur. And that's what majesty means, because of his grandeur. I mean, David's trying to paint this picture of God that is unbelievably beautiful, that is unbelievably large, that is bigger than our minds can comprehend, because that's what God is. God is transcendent. He's bigger than this universe. And so David's trying to paint that with word pictures, and that's the feeling that we should have in our hearts, that the majesty and the honor of God and his works and how wondrous they are. How wondrous are his works. Well, he makes it to rain upon the just and upon the unjust. Every morning he causes the sun to rise, and every night the sun sets. His works are wondrous. And we could spend a lot of time about talking about that, but we don't have the time. But notice verse number 6, how he changes. Verse 5, speak of the glorious honor and majesty of thy wondrous works. Then he kind of changes the point of focus a little bit. Verse 6, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts. Terrible acts. The change from wondrous works to terrible acts. There's a contrast here. Majesty, terribleness. What are the terrible acts of God? Well, the terrible acts of God are, the word terrible means there to fear or to frighten. There are some acts of God that are to put fear in the heart of man. They're there to say, there's a God who we need to be afraid of. There's a God who's ruling this universe, and he's in control of all of this, and we should be afraid of him. There are some terrible acts. I mean, that's why he caused the Red Sea to close upon Pharaoh. That's why he caused the earth to open up and swallow Korah and his family. That's why he sent the fiery serpents among the children of Israel. There were acts that God did to show, I'm God and you're not, and you should honor me and respect me because I'm God. There's terrible acts. And listen, if we hide that from people, we're not doing them justice. If we don't show them that there's a God to be reverenced, and listen, if we don't teach our children respect, we're doing them a disservice. Because if they don't understand what it is, that person, I should respect that person. Because that person is older than me. That person is in authority to me. Whatever. There is somebody above me that I need to respect. And if we don't teach our children respect, we're doing them a disservice. And if we don't teach them that there is the chastening of God that they need to fear, we're doing them a disservice. And so David's bringing that out. I'm going to praise him for his terrible works, that he's God and he's good and he's righteous and he does justice in this world. I'm going to thank him and praise him for his terrible acts. And so David makes sure not to leave that out. You know, that's the story of Ananias and Sapphira, you know. You lie to the Holy Spirit, you might drop dead in church. You know, that's a serious thing. You know, who is it? Deliver them unto Satan that they learn not to, he learned not to oppose the church. That's serious business. And people today think it's no big deal, but it's serious in the Scriptures. And so the terrible acts are something to be noticed and paid attention to. And David makes sure he praises God for the mighty acts and his terrible acts. And then we get to verse number 7. Verses 7 through 10 is, I'm going to praise God for His goodness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. That's the kind of the center point or point of focus of this psalm, is that David is recognizing the goodness and the righteousness of God. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All the works shall praise Thee, O Lord, and Thy saints shall bless Thee. So David has this memory of the great goodness of God. Throughout David's life, there's one thing that he could say: God was good to him. He recognized that, and that's something that we should always, listen, the one thing we should try to make sure that we tell the next generation is the goodness of God and how He has blessed us and what He has done in our life. So the Lord is good. The Lord, because of that, we ought to sing of His righteousness, as it says in verse number 7. That's the reason we love to sing. We got a great God to sing about. And He is righteous in all of His ways, which means in everything God does, He does it right. Herein lies our problem. We think, I don't know if that's true or not. Is God really good? Does God do everything right? You know, sometimes we think our way is better than God's way, and we can figure more out about this. And sometimes we question the goodness and righteousness of God. But God is good and God is righteous. And the more that we could promote that and praise that, the better off we would be. We ought to sing of His righteous, good actions, because He is fair and just in every way. The Lord is gracious, it says in verse number 8, full of compassion, long-suffering, and merciful. I'd love to take the time to talk about all of those. But each of us should be appreciative of the compassion of God, and that He is slow to anger with us, and He is of great mercy. Because if God was not slow to anger, just think how quickly He would be angry against us. The Lord is good to all His children. The Lord is good to all His children. Why can't we see the goodness of God? Why is it that we question the goodness of God? Somebody, I don't know if God's good all the time. I don't know if everything is good. He's going to work all things together for my good. I don't know if He's doing that or not. I don't know if that's actually good or not. You know why we can't see the goodness of God? Because we can't see our own wickedness. We think that we are good. We think that we deserve the blessings of God. That's why we can't see the goodness of God. We think and we view goodness from our own perspective and not from God's point of view. Sometimes what we think is good is not good. Sometimes what we think is good is spoiling. Sometimes what we think is good is damaging. You look at from God's perspective, we can't see how good God is because we can't see our own wickedness. And David is saying, hey, I'm praising God. He is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all of His works. You say, His tender mercies are over all of His works? Yes. Let's remember this. And the day that you eat that, you're going to die. And he didn't. He died spiritually, but not physically. He should have died physically. God should have took him out right then. Dead. No hope for man. Lost. Adam should be burning in hell forever. But he didn't die. What if God brought judgment upon us the moment that we sinned? The moment that we were angry with someone. Anger is sin. The moment that we're angry, God brought judgment on us immediately. The moment we had a covetous thought. What if God's judgment right now? What if the moment that we lusted or said the wrong thing or what if, bam, judgment right now? Where would we all be? We'd be laid out, wouldn't we? There's no hope for us. His tender mercies are over. All of His works. What about when it rains upon the one who refuses to admit that there's a God? What about that? There ain't no such thing as God. God, strike me down if you're really there. And God says, that's all right, I'll let it go. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let it rain on you tomorrow. You got a garden out there, you've got a field, and that's where you make your money. I'm going to give you rain. What about when God makes it rain upon the one that doesn't believe He exists? That's a tender mercy. When the rebel against God says, you don't exist, takes a breath. That's a tender mercy of God. We make poor decisions. We don't honor God with our life, yet we live on in peace. That's a tender mercy of God. You see, David is praising the tender mercies of God. In all thy works, it says, shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. In His eternal kingdom, that's going to be the case. In His eternal kingdom, all of His saints are going to praise thee, and all of His works are going to praise Him. And then we get down, praise God for His glory in verses 11 through 13. We've got about 7 minutes, so I'm going to crunch this all together. And they speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. His glory, kingdom, and power. These are all topics which we can discuss with others, or we should discuss with others, and tell them about, and praise Him because of His glory, and praise Him because of His future kingdom. And look, we're working for that future kingdom. We're going to live with Him in His kingdom under His reign. And we're going to reign with Him in His kingdom. His power. These are all the places where we should be praising His mighty acts. Make known His might, His glory, His majesty. Knowing that His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. This dominion endureth throughout all generations. So we ought to praise God for His glory. Then we praise God for His generosity. Verses 14 through 20 are just talking about the general goodness of God. Listen to this. The Lord upholdeth all that fell and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. If you want to be brought back, if you want to be held up, if you want to be restored, it's going to come from God. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. That's the general goodness of God. Thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Every living thing is blessed because of the goodness of God. Somebody was saying the other day, I think it was Mom, I was talking to her about feeding the birds, or it might have been Leroy, and they like to feed the birds. And man, the birds up there, they go through 20 pounds of bird seed a day. I mean, they just come in there, whoosh, wipe it out. And I don't know if I said it or somebody else said something about, well, you know, God's supposed to feed the birds, and He said that He'll feed the birds, and they said, whichever one it was, said, but what if I'm God's tool He's using to feed the birds? You're right. God said He's going to care for the birds, but what if I'm the tool that He uses to feed them? So something for us to think about. God God chooses to use us, by the way. Let's remember that. We can't say, well, God's sovereign. He's going to do what He's going to do, so it don't matter what I do. Yes, it does. God chooses to use us. We are His vessels to be used of Him, and we accomplish His will. His will is accomplished through us. He uses us, and so we can't say, well, if it's going to happen, God's will is going to happen no matter what we do. Wrong. God uses us. Anyway, I can't get off on that. He satisfies the living thing as general grace to all. MacArthur calls this God's unfailing faithfulness. Then we see in verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. The Lord is nigh unto them that call unto Him, that to all that call unto Him to truth. And so you can see David thinking about his own life and reflecting upon his own life. And as he's writing this, the Lord is righteous in all of His ways and all of His works. And so all of those times David looked back in his life and he could see even the difficult times in his life and the times when he might have been struggling. He could say, even though I was struggling, I recognize that God is righteous and God is good. All of His ways are right. When I called upon Him, He was nigh to me. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. David remembers the time that he was crying unto God and recognized that God heard him. And he's sharing that so that we can praise Him. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. And Garzer calls this God's unblemished righteousness. David is just sharing with us all the many reasons we have to praise God, whether it's Elohim, whether it's Jehovah, there is a God to be praised, and we should be sharing that praise with others. And you know what? It would be good for us to take some time to reflect upon the goodness of God. To look back upon your life and see how God rescued you and see how God provided for you and to recognize how He did righteously in your life. Verse 21 is sort of a call to action. David's sort of his final words. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. Praise the Lord, an exhortation to praise. And that's what we should be doing. We should praise the Lord. Listen, if we want others to know of the glories of God, we need to praise His name. We need to tell them how great He is, how great the hope we have. Praise the Lord. That's what David wants us to know in sort of his last words. We're going to continue this next few songs looking at this praise, but let's all try to praise the Lord and share His goodness with others. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this night, the time we have to be together with You, Your people, and to study Your Word, and I pray Your Holy Spirit will encourage us as we think of all the reasons we have to praise You. We thank You that You're worthy to be praised. In the name of Your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.